When I was younger, I like cats a lot. And when I was younger, I saw a production of Peter and the Wolf, and the clarinet represented the cat. And so when it was time to pick the instrument, I wanted to be the cat.
It's funny to think about how something like that can map out or help map out your future.
Yes, 19 years later, I'm still the cat.
So obviously when you picked it, you enjoyed it. I mean, if you didn't put it back down.
Oh, I loved playing the clarinet. And the older I got, the more versatile I realized it was. The clarinet is different than the other woodwinds in that they don't have an octave key. You can't push down fingers and hit a key and it takes it up an octave. It's a little bit more complex. And so it was kind of like a gateway instrument. I also started picking up the saxophone and the flute. But the clarinet was just so versatile, and I got to play in jazz band, and I got to play classical and in chamber, and I liked playing in all those things.
When I think of the clarinet, the first thing I think of is Benny Goodman.
Yes.
And he made it swing.
Yes.
I mean, not just Benny Goodman, but the clarinet seems like a really cool instrument.
I think so, but I might be partial.
What's the first thing you learned to play? Do you remember?
Oh, I think in fifth grade, we put on a Christmas concert. I remember Carol of the Bells, so maybe that.
Fifth grade, so where did you go to school?
Well, at that time, I was living in Ohio in a small town called Bellbrook. But in sixth grade, I moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and that's where I did most of my playing through high school.
It's a compact instrument,
mm-hmm.
easy to carry.
Yes.
You can check it on a plane.
Yes.
So it's versatile in that way as well.
It is easier, though. I have to, because I'm an orchestral player, I have to have both a B-flat clarinet and an A clarinet. And so my case is a lot bigger. People usually don't peg it as a clarinet case. But it is something that I can take on trips. I don't have to check it or buy a seat for it like some cello players have to.
They really will take their cello onto the plane?
Yes, because they're such delicate instruments. They don't want them thrown by people that don't know. So they'll buy a ticket for their instrument.
Now, as you mentioned, you have to have both of these clarinets with you.
Yes.
Are there instances where you are performing in an evening and you play both of them?
Yes.
So you've got to have them ready before the curtain goes up.
Yes. Most symphony concerts, I'll play both A and B flat. You'll switch between the two. But we just put it on a stand next to us so they're both ready.
Will you ever do that in the same piece?
Yes.
Really?
There's several pieces out there where you switch back and forth, even in one movement. A lot of the Mahler pieces, Mussorgsky's Night on Bald Mountain has maybe 6 or 7 changes throughout the piece. So sometimes.
You recently had a recital at the university.
Yes.
Take me through the moments before a recital. What you do, how you get ready. Is it nerve-wracking or is it just a chance to do what you love to do?
For me now, it's a chance to do what I love to do. It's a kind of a process. It's a journey getting to that point. I've put on many, many recitals, and I remember my first recital. It was extremely nerve-wracking. But now I've kind of gotten into a groove, and it's just doing something that I love. I have the music. At that point, there's nothing more you can do. You've practiced all you can. And so the best thing you can do is just enjoy getting ready. I kind of like doing my hair. And then just taking a moment to make sure that everything's in order, because you don't want any surprises. That's when nerves will kick in, if you don't have the music on the stand or you don't have your water bottle where you want it. So just kind of prepare and take care of and put everything, cross all your T's and dot all your I's, I guess.
The recitals I've been to, you have that sort of that familiar murmur of the crowd. There are people there, and then the artist or artists will walk out and it gets quiet. Often so quiet you can hear the person's shoes on the stage.
Yes.
That to me is kind of a thrilling moment, but a little bit scary for me in the audience.
Well,
because especially when it's a solo recital, you're up there by yourself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have my piano accompanist, Christy.
Sure.
She's fantastic. I guess I learned from a teacher once that the moments of silence are a lot longer to you than they actually are when you're up on stage. So when things get quiet, I'm about to play, and the anticipation of the first note, I just take my time. Like, I just enjoy it, because it's always going to seem so much longer to me than it is to the audience. And I just use that moment to prepare and make sure everything is ready right before I go.
Have you ever thought what you would be doing if you hadn't seen Peter and the Wolf? What if you had been not at school that day or not taken to that performance?
I'd still be a musician. I started playing music when I was 3, on my own accord. I played the violin, and I think I'm string instrument challenged. And so I started piano when I was 4, and I was putting on recitals, little recitals and stuff like that. So music was always very important to me. And I think my parents, you know, embraced it, but eventually were like, you're going to do what with your life? But I would have been in music either way. It was my choice to do band.
Were your parents musicians?
No.
Wow. So you just, at 3?
Yes. I loved music when I was a baby. Like there were certain commercials that would come on, and if they turned it off before the song was over, I would scream. So I was enthralled with concerts and music and seeing live music. And I was lucky that my parents let me attend those.
Still ever play the flute and saxophone?
I do. I am a woodwind doubler. I play the Broadway shows that come through. Recently, I played West Side Story, and we had 4 reed players. The book that I played flute, piccolo, clarinet, bass clarinet, tenor sax, and bari sax.
Wow. When something like West Side Story comes through, mm-hmm. and you're assembled as an orchestra, but of course, the traveling company doesn't come in till what, the day before?
Well, we don't rehearse until the morning of the first show. They have something called advance books, and they mail them to us. And usually there's about 15 of us down there, including string players or brass players, percussion, keyboard, and conductor. And they mail us these books, and we prepare. And then usually the shows will kick off on Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. And so Tuesday morning we rehearse usually between 3 and 5 hours. And then we have a sound check, and then it's the first show.
I would think, I'm not a musician, I would think it would be so much fun to be playing Cool or G Officer Krupke or, I mean, the songs that we've heard for years. Is it fun, or is it, when you're in the pit, is it work?
It's stressful depending on the piece. It's fun. I love it. But sometimes you get a piece and you're like, you have to switch between bari sax and then the piccolo. And that's, I mean, there's a moment of stress. Usually by the end of the week, you've gotten the hang of it. It gets better every show. The sad part about being a pit musician sometimes is that I never ever get to see the musical. I have no idea what's going on stage. I usually invite people to come see it. And then afterwards, I'm like, so in this moment of silence, what was going on?
Well, I'll just let you know that Tony and Maria, it doesn't end well.
Okay.
Now, you brought in a CD.
I did.
This is of you.
Yes, this is a recital that I put on this past Sunday.
What should we hear from this?
Really, any part of it. The last piece, okay. The ending, or I have a great piece by Ludoslawski on here. It's really up to you.